Louisville.
Good evening. This is normally your question, please. This evening I have the questions. I'm Ed Phillips, substituting for Ron Davidson, who is the regular host of your question, please. But Ron said he wanted to stay home and enjoy this evening rather than work. And they needed an old fogey to come in. We have a very special your question, please. As a matter of fact, we have three of them this week. We'll be here this evening, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 6 o'clock with special editions of your question, please. And if you saw Mr. Dorsey's article in the paper this morning, you know that we are celebrating something of an anniversary at Wave Radio. The Wave tradition, which actually began as amateur radio, will be covered in some detail in some very special programming other than these Your Question Please segments that we'll be talking about later in the week. But let's take care of the business at hand first and introduce some very special guests. First of all, let's say hello to Mr. Jim Caldwell, whose name is synonymous, of course, with Wave.
Hello, how are you?
Good evening. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's first of all discuss just a little bit of your role over the years.
Well, let's see. I came to Wave in 46 as news director, and then I was radio program director, then promotion, then station manager, then general manager, and I was with the Wave organization 35 years altogether. Retired in 1981.
So you had quite a long and illustrious career with the radio station, and you saw much development over the years.
Yeah, it really did. And when I came, they were at Preston and Broadway, and then in 59, we built a new building where the TV station is now.
Right. In fact, I remember that move. It was quite a big deal.
It was. That was in 59.
It was quite a do, as I remember about that. Also with us, two gentlemen who kept us company late at night for a long time, and both voices are still missed. First, let's say hello to Andy Chappelle.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening, sir. I'm not sure how to actually begin your story because you have done so many things, so versatile were you over the years.
Well, I started with Wave in 53, September of 53, when things like, as far as TV is concerned, you could smoke on camera. The TV news department was Livingston Gilbert and a couple of Polaroid black and white shots.
And backdrops, yeah.
And things like that. But one thing I remember, Foster one day, everyone remembers, he said the latest weather forecast is on the table in the other room. Things like that. So
good live TV where...
Yes, radio.
Whatever happened.
Sure, that's right.
And then as the years progressed, your role changed to, as I mentioned, keeping us company overnight.
Right,
like
mm-hmm. Yeah, till about 74.
Right. Then at that point, another and very friendly voice, and a gentleman I have not formally gotten to say hello to yet, Jerry Tucker is with us.
Hi.
Mr. Tucker, I got to tell you that I listened to you on WLOU before I heard you on Wave. So, even though I haven't been formally introduced to you, you have a fan here. I just want you to know that before we go any further. You were, as I mentioned, a very friendly voice late at night. You know, somehow many people believe that radio has lost the one-to-one friendly touch with such an emphasis in many situations on music. Which is fine, of course. Things change, times change. But somehow, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and there's a storm on the way and you hear Jerry Tucker, you just feel a little bit better with someone who knows how to communicate. I guess you had a lot of interesting experiences overnight, though. You kind of ran the gamut. You disc jockeyed, read the news, later went into sort of babysitting the TalkNet programs, didn't you?
Yes, this is true. It was very interesting back then, and we surprisingly, a lot of people were up all night. I don't know what the situation is like now, but back then a lot of people were up all night, and I called it the night people, mm-hmm. And we had quite a rapport.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I guess all of us at one time or another, either out of necessity or just because we were hired to do it, it worked the late night shift, but did it surprise you that there were so many people awake overnight?
Not after a while. At first it did, and then after time it became just a routine thing, and we kept each other's company all night.
Probably made a lot of friends. lasting friends.
This is true.
Well, it's very good to have you with us. And by the way, I also followed your career at that other station.
Thank you.
It's just hard to get away from a good voice. Now, I don't even know how to get into this.
Do the best you can.
Middays.
Go with what you got over here, you might as well just say who it is.
On Wave Radio, you cannot talk about Wave in the afternoon without talking about Fletch. One of the absolute nicest people in the industry. And I'll give you that $10 in a few minutes.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, you read that just the way I wrote it.
Joe Fletcher, like that. Almost. I left out that one word because it had four letters in it, and I thought maybe that wouldn't be really appropriate. Joe Fletcher's with us, too. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's fun to reminisce.
It really is. You came to Wave. Now, let's back up a little bit before we get to Wave, because you did a little stint in doing some of that Top 40 stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was at WAKY in the early 60s, and then I was out at WSAC at Fort Knox for a little over a year until Byron Cowan fired me. And no hard feelings, by the way. And I kind of knocked around. I believe at one time I was working about three stations. I would work WSAC weekdays, and then I think I was doing a stint at WINN on the weekend. And you did whatever you had to do to stay in this crazy business.
You know you're getting old when all the places you work are not there.
Yeah, that's right. I've closed a lot of radio stations.
Well, Joe, we made them what they are today.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But Wowie. Remember Wowie?
Yeah, I spent a brief stint there. I even worked at WSLM in Salem, and Don Martin fired me while I was on the air. And thanks. That was the shortest notice I ever had. It was the greatest favor that I could have had, too, in reference.
Arthur Godfrey perfected that technique.
I was in good company, I guess. But he isn't here. I wish he was. Pat Murphy, God bless him. I don't know where Murph is or what he's doing. But
Murph is in Kansas City selling advertising for the Kansas City Star.
Is he really?
Last I heard.
Well,
occasionally
I run into Hugh Haney, and Hugh and Murph were friends, and Hugh and I are friends, and we reminisce and talk about some of the great things that Murphy used to say and do, and neither of us, unfortunately, have heard a word.
You know, the combination of Joe Fletcher and Pat Murphy is something that will probably never be equaled, and certainly in Louisville radio again. It was an entertainment package all its own.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We had a lot of fun. I think, you know, you're talking about one-on-one. I think that's what radio was all about, and we had some great people to work with, and I remember our first, as Jim Caldwell, I'm sure, remembers our first, I believe he was our first helicopter traffic reporter with Jack Clye.
Yep.
Great guy.
Yep.
And then we had Jack Bynum.
Bynum.
Jack Bynum is deceased, and his lovely wife, Donna, is involved with the Derby Festival committee. And even Dick Dotson took a tour in our helicopter occasionally.
He did.
And so we
broke in a lot of them.
That's right. Dick Tong. I mean,
we
had some great news people over the years, and we just had a good combination of folks, and they were just folks, you know.
Well, since we've gotten on the subject of news a little bit, Mr. Caldwell, let me ask you this. When you first came to Wave Radio, obviously you were a part of and at the station while many, many changes in the way news was done were in progress, but when you first came, were many of the newscasts simply fitted in, I guess is the best way to put that, because there was so much network commitment?
No, really, when I came, the networks, of course, took over during the war, and the war news made radio news, and the networks. And by the time I got there, they had decided to go more heavily in local news, and we had, six 15-minute newscasts a day. And the news staff at that point were reporters and writers and editors, and the newscasters only read the news, like Livingston Gilbert and Bob Kay and Burt Blackwell, who's now deceased, and they were great voices, and they had great understanding of the news, but and they would do some editing of it when we got to copy to them, but actually they did not write it as a lot of them do today.
So there was an emphasis at that point on more local news.
Oh, yeah.
Because the time was available, and
Well, because
the situation required it.
Because at that point, this was before television, of course, and the war had created an appetite for news on radio by the from the listeners. And when the war ended, the emphasis then became on local and national and state news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was a great appetite for that, too, and it grew and grew.
As the 60s came and went, newscasts shortened, though, somewhat. The whole news process changed, though.
Well, not exactly. There became more newscasts. What we had in the early days was about 6 15-minute newscasts a day. Then later on, and here the networks pioneered this, was news on the hour. And they would be either followed by or preceded by local news. So you had more news in the total schedule, but there were shorter newscasts, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Cut in something.
NBC, I guess, was the premier network with that news on the hour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they started it.
Any major stories locally that stand out in your mind?
Yeah, there was one time when a chlorine barge hung up on up here at McAlpin Dam, and that kept the people of that area. They were nervous for about a week, and they didn't know whether it was going to blow up or what. And that was almost a play-by-play operation that we did then with people down there 24 hours mm-hmm. a night.
I guess the tornado, too, of 74. Would be
the tornado of 74, of course. Absolutely.
DuPont explosion in the 60s?
Right. DuPont explosion, right.
You know, something Wave, I remember that before Wave Radio was a 24-hour operation, the station signed off at midnight, I think,
right.
Midnight or 1 a.m.
Midnight.
And, midnight and back on at 5. And I remember when we would have a large snowstorm, or if something such as the DuPont disaster occurred, they would call in Mr. Chappelle.
All I can remember is with the DuPont thing, I think Gil was on vacation or something, and I ended up doing a TV newscast about it either the same day or the day after. But that's all part of, back in those days, whoever was walking down the hall at the wrong time got to do the weather that night. And among other things, we were talking about TV some, but when vacations came along, you had different assignments as a result of that.
They never asked Fletch to do the weather. I wonder...
Oh, I bet he did it once in
a
while.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We had a weather vane.
That was a loaded.
Yeah. You know, one of the great things about the early news on in this... 50s and the 60s on radio, you had these great dignified voices like Gilbert
exactly.
and Bob Kay and Blackwell and these. And the name of the game then was to try to break them up on the air, and mm-hmm. they would do such things as to each other set fire to their script, fix their microphone so that when they turned it on they'd get a shock.
Oh dear.
These were serious guys to the public, but they were behind the scenes trying to break each other up. And to their credit, even though they went through these traumas, they never missed a beat on reading the news.
No, I
remember one time, Melissa Forsythe, when she was at Wave, wrote a newscast in French for Gilbert and handed it to him just as he was supposed to go on the air, and then she slipped him the English translation. And Gil went on the air with only the French one in front of him, did a perfect translation without batting an eye. He was that good.
That, sir, is talent.
They had nicknames for each other, too, didn't they, some of them? Are they all printable? what did Jughead do? Is that Bob Kay?
Bob Cage, yeah, Jughead. He was a good newscaster.
I mean, that was his nickname. Yeah. I can't remember.
Right. And Melissa Forsythe was Missy. I remember that.
Melissa who?
Forsythe.
Oh.
You know, you talk about great voices. I the windows are rattling when Jerry speaks here, and we have to be very careful, or we're gonna. but Jerry Tucker has one of the absolute best naturally resident. And I'll give you your check in a minute, too, Jerry. Okay.
Thank you. I'll take it.
It's in the mail. But I remember Jerry always sounded so relaxed, but still not formal. I don't want to use the word formal, Jerry, but it was almost nothing is going to interfere with my production on the air. You can't do. And I picture yourself as being one of those people who couldn't be stopped no matter what they did to you. Do you remember anything like that happened to you?
No, I was very fortunate. See, the time I was on the air, midnight till 5 or thereabouts.
Everybody wanted out of the building, all
right. Right. Everybody was home, so I didn't have any problems like that. There was another explosion that we sort of forgot, and that was a Purina explosion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on that morning, and it shook that building like it was made of cardboards or something, and nobody knew what it was. But at 5 o'clock in the morning, how could you tell? So we started monitoring the police radios, and eventually we found out, and the news crews were out on the beat. But that's when where I was in the building, and it rocked the whole downtown area. And something else I wanted to bring out is back in those days, Wave Radio was a strong number one in the Louisville market, and I guess the man responsible for it is sitting right beside me, Jim Caldwell.
Well, it, thank you, but it took a great staff and a lot of dedicated people to do that. But you're absolutely right. We were in the number one position for right close to 15 years.
Jerry, you just segued for me. Thank you very much. I was about to get into that. Before we do that, let's take a commercial break, though. And we'll come back and talk about what was on the air on Wave and why. This is Your Question, Please, on Wave 970.
Would you like to work on your college degree but can't take the time away from home? KET offers a way to take college classes without commuting to a college or university. KET regularly broadcasts accredited courses at convenient times, and you can tape them to watch later for review. Just by calling 1-800-432-0970, you can receive free information about the college telecourses broadcast by KET and offered for credit at most Kentucky colleges. This fall, you can study business, marketing, and personal finance, or literature, history, and sociology. A graduate-level course also is offered in education. Call KET at 1-800-432-0970 to find out how you can enroll in KET telecourses. Let college come to you by calling 1-800-432-0970.
It's come to our attention some of you are not jumping in puddles, and others have not chased a butterfly in years. So while summer's still here, make time for a pitcher of Country Time lemonade-flavored drink mix with a taste of good old-fashioned lemonade and natural lemon flavor. And while it may not be as uplifting as making giraffes out of clouds, it's a start. Country Time. Take time for summer's pleasures.
This is Wave 970's Your Question, Please, a very special edition this evening. Our guests are Mr. Jim Caldwell, who was responsible for what we heard on Wave Radio for many years. We also have Andy Chappelle, who is familiar to many, many people. Jerry Tucker is with us. And Joe Murphy, that's it. Joe Murphy. On the Murphy go-around.
The headaches.
You know, Pat Murphy was the only man I ever heard in the world who would say the current temperature is 96 degrees above zero.
But he said a lot of wonderful things, strange things.
Yeah.
And we had...
some were understandable.
Yeah, some
occasionally we could get something out of it.
Some even made sense.
But he was a fun guy. And
he was.
It's too bad he couldn't be here. Of course, we had Jim Lucas... you know, he came from NBC. And
Jack Gallo.
Jack Gallo was in the morning. Jack did a wonderful job in the morning. And I was midday for a number of years. And then I preceded Murphy. And, of course, I never knew exactly what time I'd get off the air.
Danny King.
Danny King was there for a number of years in the morning.
Young Daniel.
And so we had quite a lot of fun. Livingston Gilbert did the news in drive time radio in the afternoon. And he was... Jim was talking about his on-air image and his off-air image were quite a bit different. We used to have running gags that would go for days and days. Things that were off the air, had they been on the air, they would have turned it into a Burger Queen or something. But the man had a wonderful sense of humor. He was worldly and he was erudite, and he was just a fun man to be around.
Yeah.
We were going to get into programming a little bit. Jim, when
a decision was made to make a change in wave radio, and there really were not many changes made over the years because there were none necessary. You had a winner and you stuck with it. But how would you best describe the gradual changing into a more contemporary, as years went by, radio station, as opposed to the network days when local programming was almost only filler because you had so many commitments? It's much like television is now.
Well, we never really got into the teenage audience because we figured that AM radio was the medium that most adults grew up with and would stay with, and in the early days of FM, the younger people began to discover it, and eventually it became the medium of the younger listeners. So what we would do would have our research director, and the corporation had a researcher, and he would do focus group tests of music, types of music, and it would come up with a formula. And in 15 years, that formula never changed. It was one-third oldies, going back to about 1960, and about one-third contemporary, middle of the road, and one-third what was called crossover country. And it really never varied except for an occasional excursion into one, more into one area than another. But basically, that was the formula for 15 years.
What kind of criteria did you use to hire your personalities?
In the early days, in the days of what were known as the Fabulous Five, that was Gilbert, Kay, Gladden, Ed Kelly, and Ryan Halloran, voice quality and understanding of what they were reading or what they were ad-libbing were almost these were the basics. It was only later that we found that all these guys, because of their intelligence, had a great deal of personality they could project. But that set later went with almost all television, except for an occasional newscast, as Gilbert did. Then we got into more of the personality-type personalities, like Fletch down here and Jerry Tucker.
So you're responsible
Andy
for that.
Yeah, we made a complete change in the station in 1964, where we brought in a complete new set of DJs. And up to that point, they had not been called disc jockeys. They had been called personalities or announcers. But then we got into the DJ and personality with Murphy and Gallo and Fletcher and Lucas and Danny King and Jerry and Andy Chappelle, and they each had a distinct personality for the time of day that they were on.
One of my idols, and I hope to meet him later this week, is Bob Kay. And you mentioned personality within the framework of what they were doing.
Right.
Can anybody else say it's a beautiful morning in Louisville like Bob Kay did?
No.
I mentioned Jerry Tucker and the comforting voice overnight. It's a very similar situation. Jerry Tucker, if we can change the gears just a bit here, too. Jerry, you did another program on Wave Radio, other than your overnight shift. A very good community affairs program.
Yeah, it was called the Jerry Tucker Report, and it was a weekly program, and it was a quarter hour, and we did it for a number of years.
You dealt with a lot of issues of interest to all facets of the public, and it was. But you know, I often wonder how many people who work overnights these days could diversify. And again, this is not to be negative about contemporaries in the business, but you're just not asked to do it. I guess things do change over the years. Fletch, what'd you do extra? Nothing.
Well, I did some television. Early on, I was the host of HiQ.
Right.
And I used to do the weather occasionally. In fact, I have a good trivia question for you. What was the name of the first meteorologist that was hired at Wave Television?
Something Sykes or something.
Charlie Sykes.
Charlie Sykes.
Yeah, that's a good trivia
that's
question.
A good one.
And then Charlie just disappeared one day. Tom Wills show.
Was he related to Murphy in any way?
No, I think they were soulmates, or they should have been. But then Tom Wills, I was the first one to show Tom how to. In those days, we drew the weatherboard. We didn't have all of these fancy electronic gizmos. And I was the one that actually, I didn't tell Tom how to forecast the weather. I explained to him how to set up the board and put the fronts and all that on. Of course, I know a lot more about the weather than he does, but that's another story.
Anybody does.
I did not teach him how to talk.
He's a nice fellow.
Nice fellow. He's a good meteorologist. He really is. And, you know, Tom should be here, too. He did the weather on Wave Radio many
actually,
times.
From the day he came, I think,
that's
didn't
right.
he? From the very day he started, he did weather on radio.
That's right. Well, I came to Wave in 1965, and as Jim said, that was the time. That was about the time they were getting changing, I guess, from the old guard. And I was there approximately 15 years. I had a hiatus. I went down to South Carolina for a couple of years, but then came back to Wave. And then when Wave Radio and TV was sold, that's when I decided I wanted to be a stockbroker. I'll always regret that day.
You know, we shouldn't let this pass without talking about some of the early days of radio before these guys' time.
Right.
George Patterson is a man who deserves the credit for that. He was the program director who put Wave on the air in 1933, and he was program director until 1951 when they split radio and TV, and he went to be program director of the TV side. But George built it all during the war, before the war, and all during the war, and in the 40s. And he was the one who hired and had set the criteria for the Fabulous Five. And he was the one who set up a Man on the Street program. Mm-hmm. I think he was the first in Louisville. And the,
Ian Burt did it.
Ian Burt Blackwell did that. And he really developed. Of course, Radio Network with the soap operas was strong in the early days, and George built the local programming around the network programming. But there again, Wave was number one for another 15 years, I think, from in the 30s and 40s and the early 50s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wave was a constant and continuous success, and the Wave tradition can very much be traced back to Mr. Patterson's development.
Right.
And it takes a real intelligently placed plan to do what he did. You don't just hire someone, you know. I guess because I'm something of a radio history buff, there are many, many stories that we all know and they continue today of radio stations that almost haphazardly, and that was, I think that was probably the feeling that a lot of people had when Gordon McClendon put Wacky on the air, that may work, may not. But in those days, it worked. But in those days, the precedent had been set by people like George Patterson. But not only was it a precedent for a kind of programming, it was a quality standard that the station maintained into the 80s.
Oh, Mr. Patterson was an English teacher, so he would have been very conscious of the vocal sounds and what people said and how they said it. So he carried that over. And he did have a Fabulous Five, no question.
And that's why many of the gentlemen went on to work in TV and continued that Wave tradition. Let's take a commercial break, Mr. Woods, if you're ready, and we will be back with more of your question, please, on Wave 970.
Bacardi Breezer is like nothing you've ever tasted. A splash of Bacardi Light. A touch of sparkle. Crisp, natural fruit flavors. With a taste that will blow you away. Bacardi Light makes the difference. Rum specialty, 4% alcohol by volume. Bacardi imports Miami, Florida.
Feel our faith with the choices we make.
Bacardi Breezer, proud sponsor of the sound that will blow you away. Gloria Estefan's Into the Light Tour. Make the responsible choice. Don't drink and drive.
This is Ralph Packard. Two celebrated Kentucky outdoor dramas are presented in Kentucky State Parks. The Stephen Foster Story at my old Kentucky home state park in Bardstown. And The Legend of Daniel Boone at Old Fort Harrod State Park in Harrodsburg. Don't miss them this year. Kentucky State Parks, part of the uncommon wealth of Kentucky. Call 1-800-255-PARK.
Like a song in your heart, Kentucky State Parks. are calling, calling you now.
America's favorite pastime, baseball, is going strong in Louisville. This is Jim Kelch.
This is
Join me for every pitch
Give
of Redbirds baseball this season as the Birds try to capture the American Association crown. Redbirds baseball, celebrating 10 years in Louisville.
The Redbirds take on the Toledo Mudhens at Cardinal Stadium tonight. Hear all the action beginning at 7:05 here on your Redbird station, Wave 970.
Speaking of baseball, isn't that ironic, Mr. Chappelle? How we see these guys are helping me do this without even knowing it. We haven't talked much about Uncle Ed, and we cannot let any of these programs go by without tribute to people like Bert Blackwell, for example, who is Mr. Versatile. And unfortunately, being no longer with us, I missed the opportunity to ever say hello to that fine gentleman who is, again, a cornerstone of the Wave tradition. Now, Uncle Ed, how many people do you know who can do funny flickers and go out the same night to Fairground Stadium and do a baseball game at a network level of quality?
Well, Ed was a total professional. You could go to school on how he performed on the air.
And you felt as if you knew him, as a listener.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he left no doubt as to his feelings.
No.
He wore them right on his cuff, and he was just a great fellow.
In sports, we had Art Metzler, too, who, again, another example of... Don Hill. Now, that's something I saved till last because hopefully we'll have Mr. Hill on the air with us a bit later in the week. In fact, I think he's going to be in town. We'll have to check with our executive producer here, Marco, and we'll know.
Don is flying in all the way from Tacoma, Washington.
That's great.
And he'll be on Wednesday?
He will be that's in great. Tomorrow night late, but he will be on the program... Wednesday, we'll have an interview on with him and Pee Wee Reese
prior to the All-Star game.
All-Star games.
That's great.
I think we're very fortunate to have Jim Kelch in town with us, too. And so often minor league cities do not get the quality of people to do play-by-play. I don't know if you gentlemen have heard Jim Kelch or not, but he's an excellent... he fits in the Ed Kelly tradition, I think, to a certain extent because he has that ability to... He'll tell you what he thinks, but he does it in a manner that doesn't offend anybody. And besides that, he's just an excellent... We've got a major league play-by-play man in a minor league town here, so... since Art, I think, have we had that.
Can I make a comment about Jim and the Redbirds? The Redbirds and Wave, I think, will have a long-standing relationship that... Jim Kelch said that Wave has always been an integral part of baseball in Louisville.
Wave was the Colonels for many, many, many years.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in Louisville and belonged to the Knothole Gang and went to the Colonels games when they were at Parkway Field. And Don Hill was just an incredible play-by-play announcer. Now, I'm not sure the game was always as exciting as his narration, but he did add a lot of excitement to the game.
And Wave Radio carried University of Louisville for 17 years.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And Ed Kelly called those, and in later years, Art Metzler did the color on them.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, until the late 70s, early 80s. Early 80s, we were the U of L station.
We carried the NCAA in 81.
That's right, the Final Four. Let's go around in turn, beginning with Jim. Is there, if any, a most memorable person in terms of not liking or disliking on the personal level, but that you've worked with? Is there anybody who strikes you that if you ever have a memory pop up, this person is in it?
Oh, I think undoubtedly the intelligence of Livingston Gilbert was unbelievable. He was extremely well-read in the classics. He knew music, and it was impossible to get a wrong fact, a fact in error, past him. He kept up on current affairs better than anybody I know, and he really was an editor on the air. You could give him a sloppy piece of copy walking into the studio, and he had... He correct it and smooth it out, and it would come out over the air just as smooth as a running brook.
Somebody referred to him as a walking word processor.
He was.
Yes.
He was.
I don't remember who it was, but it was a great way to put it.
And that voice.
Yeah, wonderful voice.
And I don't mean to downgrade any of the guys here or any of the other guys there, but Gilbert had that particular facility that you just don't see very often.
Jerry, how about you? Get any one particular memorable person with you?
Well, Ed Calais, Uncle Ed, was he was one of a kind. And he was the type of person that he didn't meet strangers. And I guess he loved people, so people loved him. It seems everybody loved the guy. And he was one of the most outstanding personalities that I can recall at Wave.
We used to have lunch together every day.
You and Uncle
Ed?
In
the Magic Forest, yeah. We used to.
Oh, you did?
Every day. Then I went after the Colonel's game. But that's the way he made you feel. You're absolutely right about that.
He was quite a personality.
Andy, how about you?
Somebody who was never on the air, Fletcher Irvin, a real gentleman. He was the custodian of the building at Wave, and he gave dignity to everything he did. He was a fine man.
And that takes something that many of us don't have, to care, whatever your job is, enough to do that, to give it dignity. Joe?
Well, I you know, it's hard to narrow it down to one person because I like
you,
people.
If anybody was going to make this rough, I knew it'd be you.
But, Jim Caldwell is very special in my life because he hired me at WAVE and gave me a chance when probably a lot of other people wouldn't have. And Gil, for reasons mentioned before, I think his intelligence and... But I tell you, the guy's sense of humor was... he was very droll, and he was very hip. I mean, he knew everything that was going on. I mean, he was not square at all, and he would regale the announcers in between records when he walked into the AM booth. But I mean, you didn't get big belly laughs, but he just said clever, funny things. I remember. Do we have time to relate one story?
Certainly.
I remember one time I was on the air, and he would walk in and sit down. We didn't have a separate booth for the news. We just had a separate microphone and a little separate desk. It was all part of the console. He sat down, and more often than not, he didn't say very much. He just kind of crossed his arms and kind of stared through the window looking out into the hallway, probably thinking about something. And we had two ladies that worked in radio that were not married. And let's just say it was Jane and Mary. And they were well beyond the point of maidenhood. And so I said to Gil one day, I said, Gil, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't I get Jane and you get Mary and let's double date tonight? Now, these were not tens, understand. These were pretty plain-looking ladies. And Gil sat there and stared at the wall for a moment and still had his arms crossed. And then finally he turned to me and he said, Dreamer. But that was his sense of humor. So that was his sense of humor. It was succinct, and he was very clever. And I can't tell you some of the things we used to talk about because he was very very much fun. And Ed Calais, I loved him for a different reason. He was just an all around nice guy. And it was always a delight to see. But there were a lot of memorable people at Wave Radio and television. But those are the people that stand out. Murphy stands out for other reasons because of his looniness. And Murphy stayed in my house we were roommates for about 2 months. I think you remember this, Jim. And I had recently been divorced. I had a house and no furniture. I had a four-bedroom house with very little furniture. And Jim said, why don't you take Murph under your wing, sort of, and take him out to your house? So I found a day bed or something for him. He lived with me for about 2 months. And one day I went to Murph. Murph did not drive a car. And so I'd be in my jammies at 10 o'clock at night, and I'd get a call from Bardstown Road, and he's in a bar somewhere, and he'd say, hey, Fletch, how about come give me a ride home, you know? So then I'd have to take him to work. I'd have to feed him. I did everything but bathe him. I thought I was going to have to do that before it was over with. And finally, one day, I said, hey, Murph, this is not working too well. I'm thinking about moving. I was going to move out of my
own house.
So finally, I helped him get an apartment. And
you know, times are bad when you want to move out of your own house.
Yeah, but it was the oddest couple.
And there was one character I just got to mention. Before these guys' time, was Foster Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
There was a period Foster. Of about 3 years. He did a show from the front steps of the Wave Building when it was at Preston and Broadway, and we called it Breakfast with Brooks Al Fresco. And he said, what are you talking about, Al Fresco? I said, Foster, it means out on the steps, outside. He said, okay, I got you. So in his style, he started doing the baseball scores in a Brooklyn accent by a guy named Al Fresco. Oh, and he started doing the weather as an old country guy calling in from Bullitt County named Other Whitlow. And his ad-libs were fantastic.
He was a little on the spicy side, too, wasn't he, for those days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he controlled it pretty well.
He had the audience, too, didn't he?
He had the audience.
Yeah, they drive by and wave at him and everything else.
That's right.
Well, one time, Jim, I can't remember when this was Calais, but one time Calais was doing a Colonels game, and I'm going to say this was must have been maybe the late 60s, somewhere around 68, maybe 1970. And it was a crucial part of the game, and the Colonels had a chance to win the game, and Ed Calais burst forth with horse shit. Which would be nothing today. I mean, that went right. And I'm sure Mr. Patterson had something to say to Ed the next day. Didn't
at that point, I was program director, and I gave it about 5 minutes, and I called the switchboard, and I said, okay, how many calls did you get on that? And the lady on the switchboard said, one. And I said, okay, what'd they say? And said, it was some lady, and she said, did he say horse or bull? and I told her that he said horse, and she hollered, I won. And she said she had a bet with her husband.
Well, in those days, that was a sin.
This was a real pioneering effort.
Yeah, that was.
Yes, it was.
Calais was just rose to every occasion. I think one night he was signing off TV, and the Star Spangled Banner didn't work. So he sang the Star Spangled Banner.
That's right.
And another night the lights went off and he turned on his cigarette lighter so that everyone could see him trying to read the sign off. And so he was always ready.
He was a wonderful man.
He was.
Since we're talking about the early days of Wave Radio, Jim Caldwell here, who was manager, was Wave Radio the first to have an FM sister station?
I think WHAS had one about the same time and then turned it back in and later put another one on the air. But we put WRXW on the air in 1946, I think, 47, and gave it to the library in 1952, and it's now known as WFPK.
And don't we wish we had it now?
There were many times I wish we had it, but believe it or not, in the early days of television, it was so expensive to get into, and Wave was the first TV station on the air. They really didn't know whether it was going to go or not, and they wanted to spend the time and the effort and the money on developing the TV,
right.
And the FM in those days was just not going anywhere.
Just a drain.
We were playing classical music. It was a weird combination. We'd play classical music all afternoon, and carry the Colonels live at night on FM.
That was their
on AM. AM, they taped and delayed the last 5 minutes.
Anyone remember Burley Birchbark?
Oh, yeah. Rodney Ford.
Yes. A funny man.
Yeah, he was our news director on radio for many, many years, and then, of course, did the TV spots in the news and so forth. But he was Burley Birchbark years and years ago.
What was the... let's take another break here because I think Mr. Woods is going to be over here with the sledgehammer if we don't. When we come back, we'll see what we can do to further interrupt your evening. This is Your Question, Please, on Wave 970.
Manfred, Manfred, I can't believe it's true. Buy a pair of glasses, Manfred will give you two.
People are feeling pretty upbeat about Manfred Optical Superstores because right now they're giving you a free pair of single vision eyeglasses or daily wear soft contact lenses with every eyeglass purchase. But the best part is Manfred Superstore's in-store lab will make both for you in just 1 hour. You can choose your free pair from our entire selection of thousands of contemporary designer frame styles. Eye examinations are available through independent doctors of optometry. Buy one pair of prescription perfect eyeglasses, and Monfried will give you the second pair or a pair of daily wear contact lenses absolutely free. See participating locations for limitations. So walk, run, or dance your way into Monfried Optical Superstore.
It's so much fun, get two for one.
Visit Monfried Optical at 7 convenient locations in Louisville.
Well, we are back. This is live radio.
That's true.
We just came in the midst of it. Well, he's. So I don't know if we were discussing. Was this question something we can?
Yeah, about Harry Lockhart. About Harry Lockhart. He was the operations manager and the music director, and he is retired, and he's in Austin, Texas.
We hope to, later in the week, we'll be talking with some names. And by the way, if you gentlemen care to come back and reminisce some more, I'm going to take the liberty to invite you, because this has been a very, very quick 51 minutes for me. I'd like to take about 12 hours. And because, you know, the wave tradition as we know it goes back to, of course, George Patterson. And as we'll cover in some very special pre-recorded programs that we're going to air on Saturdays to celebrate the Wave Traditions anniversary. This is not really Wave's anniversary. Wave's anniversary is December.
It's WLAP's.
But it is WLAP, which is a story in itself. Fascinating history there. This station's lineage goes back to 1915? I don't have my notes.
1912.
Okay. So we're old. Oh, you're old.
9LK.
Looking at our producer here, you're old. 9LK. Mr. Caldwell, you look like you might want to say something.
No, I was just going to say, according to Tom Darcy's piece this morning, and 1922 WLAP signed on the air. They had been developing, you're right, since 1912, developing a station. But it finally got its license in 1922.
Came from the Big Six Auto Repair Shop on Breckenridge Street.
Right.
And what kind of a receiver? You had a cat's whisker?
Cat's whisker. It was a crystal. You used a little... everything was homemade, I think. You used little earphones.
In fact, they played records by holding a microphone up to the...
That's
controller.
Right. They just held the mic up to that horn and put the records on the air.
That's the way we were doing it in 65, wasn't it, Jim?
Had a little equipment budget problem.
At that time, Joe, I was working at a little radio station in New Albany. We used a closing play. So we were a little more advanced than you guys.
We did. We had generally good equipment, but the one board that I remember was there when I arrived, and it wasn't brand new then. It was there when I left, but... Of course, it had been rebuilt a few times, hadn't it, Jim?
Right. We were the only station with our own hot air balloon, and we inflated it by bagging up the DJ talk that went out on the air.
And it didn't take long.
First 15 minutes, you had a full load.
Better part of an afternoon, I guess you could have all you needed.
Exactly. Just on Murph's show.
10 minutes.
Dreamer.
Dreamer, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I don't know how to thank you. Certainly not with money. I can tell you that much. But we do appreciate your coming by. We have, as I mentioned, some very special guests throughout the week on your question, please. Now, tomorrow night, Keith Cook from Structural Bonding of Kentucky will be here not to discuss radio, but concrete. And maybe it may be the same thing, come to think of it. The Wednesday night program is our regular visit from the Diabetes Resource Center. And then on Thursday night, we'll be back with another very special Wave Memories, Your Question, Please, as well as Friday evening. Let me take an opportunity to say thank you to Jim Caldwell, longtime operations manager, program director, man responsible for much wonderful talent over the years on Wave Radio. And we owe a real... debt of gratitude to you. I was trying to think of a nicer way to put that, but
I owe you
a big thanks.
Thank you for asking me tonight.
It's been a pleasure. Jerry Tucker, you still sound as friendly and warm as ever.
Thank you very much.
Jerry is a fantastic gentleman.
I was going to say, you know, many people refer to Bob Kay as a gentleman's gentleman, a real, you know, the highest degree of compliment. And Mr. Tucker, I think you're right in that same mold.
I'm honored.
Andy Chappelle, thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Continue your reading. I understand you're still reading at the Printing House for the Blind.
Yes, uh-huh.
And an excellent job you do at that. It was a pleasure having you with us. We appreciate it. Joe, good to see you again, sir.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure to talk with you and to have you on the air with us.
Well, I hope we can do it again sometime.
Well, you come back later in the week.
I'll bring Mother Fletcher with me next time,
well,
okay?
Well, right. you could do that.
We still have 4.5 minutes.
We have 4.5 minutes, I understand. So do something.
Okay,
Joe can sing.
That was our.
What about the flood in 37? What did Wave do with it? Do you recall, Jim, any particular?
That was before my time. I got there in 46, but I remember George Patterson talking about it and seeing pictures and hearing some. That was before tape, but what they did, they made some discs about the flood control, and they formed a network, I think, of about 40-some-odd stations to get the word around the country, and NBC carried a part of it. And at that point, I lived in Paris, Kentucky. I was just I was a kid in those days. And we could hear them over there and send a boat and all that talk. Mm. And the flood, in those days, when Wave went on the air in 33 as WAVE, it was located in the Brown Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the flood coverage was from, and there was actually water in the first floor lobby of the Brown. In fact, they caught several fish in the lobby of the lower lobby of the Brown Hotel in those days.
Well, they took some pictures from the hotel, didn't they? Looking, as I recall, in some of the memorabilia down at the Wave Studios.
Broadway was underwater.
Yeah, Broadway was underwater, and
well, they had to get to work in a boat. Those days. Of course, a lot of them just stayed there.
Of course, Foster, Foster was at WHAS in those days,
right.
Wasn't it? And
right.
He was, he and a fellow named Pete somebody were, was it Pete French?
Well, he was
Pete Monroe.
Pete Monroe, yeah.
There's a plaque to Pete Monroe in the courthouse lawn.
Is that, apparently did an extraordinarily good job uncovering
right.
the flood. And
right.
Of course, that was before my time, believe it or not.
What research we've uncovered indicates that when HAS was off the air because of a power failure, Wave, of course, suffered from the same power failure, but enabled with generators.
Yeah, they had
enabled the broadcast to continue.
They could get a signal out. In those days, now Wave was only 1,000 watts. They at 940. Then in they went to 5,000 watts and 970. About 19, a little bit later than that, say 1941, I think.
Of course, that got pretty far, though. I don't imagine you had much electrical interference in those days. You didn't have as many radio stations.
Well, another thing, they had enough power to get into the sky wave at night.
Uh-huh.
That could travel forever. I've picked up wave at night on the sky wave in Bermuda and South Florida, and we had reception reports from Australia and Finland. And,
good grief.
Yeah, once you can got enough power to punch it into the sky wave, it'll travel forever.
Well, gentlemen, we're down to the one-minute mark. I, again, appreciate, I won't go through all the thank yous again. That would take more than a minute. But thank you to all of you, to Jim Caldwell, Gary Tucker, Andy Chappelle, and Joe.
What's his name?
Joe Murphy.
Who are some of the folks you'll have on Thursday and Friday?
Mark Kay, Ryan Hallinan, Don Hill. And tomorrow night we have Bob Kay and Pee-wee King.
All right.
Turtles, Cheer Up, Jamboree.
Yeah, right. you just
all
stole
right.
my thunder.
You
stole my thunder. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, very special program with Bob Kay and Pee-wee King and the Cheer Up, Jamboree. That's, you don't want to miss that. Get your tape recorder out as a matter of fact. Hurdles 9.
Great.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. This has been Your Question, Please. I'm Ed Phillips for Wave 970. Have a good one. Redbirds are next.